ओम ज्ञानति निरन्तरस्य ज्ञानञ्जन शलाकः चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Parikshit Maharaj only had 7 days to live, and he had engaged himself in hearing about Krishna through Shrimati Goswami. He was the proper person to speak in subjects of Krishna, which is the proper subject to hear. And the one who is in the verge of death, for anybody, what is the proper subject on his question, Parikshit Maharaj? Proper subject matter for you, what is the topmost subject for you, for all human beings, and especially for those who are about to die. Of course, everybody's about to die. And some people it's closer than others, and others are not aware of it. Some people are not aware of it. Even some people are 90 years old, and they're still making plans how to enjoy this material world. Very good. As recently in England, my father, he just bought a new car. So he was saying to me, my last car lasted 40 years, so I think this will be my last car. Because he's 71 years old. He said, because by the time I finish this one, I'll be too old to drive it. He was going to say, you know, you're going to be around. The car's going to last longer than you, probably. You don't like to hear these things. I found this in England because at least generally I find among my devotees, at least in India, we talk about death. And we talk about it. It's considered that in Indian families an inauspicious subject. You don't want to talk about it. I think you may invite it to say we talk about ghosts and snakes. They come, especially if you talk about ghosts at night. So, you know, we talk about these things, because the people who talk about Krishna, so he will come. He's here. He wants to go to him. We don't like to talk about death, but the devotees are always talking about death. Because the whole of life is preparation for death. So, and I saw in England also, I was in a program, and
one man was there, he was having difficulty sitting on the floor. So I pointed that out. I said, well, maybe because they're not accustomed to sit on the floor. In India now also, people from middle class families, they grow up, they can't sit on the floor. Mm-hmm. They didn't. They have to get accustomed. So I saw one man was having some difficulty. I said, are you having difficulty? You please sit on a chair. He said, no, it's just I had some operation some years ago. There's always pain in my knee, whichever way I sit. So I said, well, don't worry. This problem won't last very long, because you won't have this body very long. And everyone was shocked. Oh, how can you say so? That's not very nice. It's not very nice.
It's true.
You're not going to be here very long. We have so many plans we made. You should know. You have to die. So Parikshit Maharaj was making a plan how to go back to Godhead. Plan-making commission. We should have some plans. What are we planning in our Krishna consciousness? What is our purpose? Our purpose is, So Parikshit Maharaj is doing that by hearing about Krishna. Now, here, he is asking about karma, how we transmigrate to different bodies, according to the karmic reactions that we incur. Karanam guna sangasya sadasa yoni janam. So purusha prakriti stohi bhunti prakriti janam. We are stuck in this material nature. We are getting different bodies according to our karmic reactions, according to our association with different modes of nature. We get different kinds of birth. Sometimes on the heavenly planets. Sometimes in the hellish worlds. Sometimes as a high-class Brahmin. Sometimes born in a Chandal family. Sometimes born as a worm in stew. Sometimes born as a tree. Having to stand 5,000 years. So sadhya sadhyoni. We are taking birth in different wombs. If we take birth in a high class Brahmin family, that is considered sat janma. Because one has the opportunity more to perfect his life. And if you take birth in a pig, in a dog, it's considered asat. But actually all births are asat. Because this whole world is the world of asat. Still, some places are considered better than others. Generally, it's considered better to go to the heavenly planets. Here there's discussion of the Nipapot, discussion of the heavenly planets. But actually, in the eye of a devotee, they're all the same. Narayana parasarvena kutasun bhivyati swadhapa bhaganarakeshu apito yamtidanshanaha. For a devotee, heaven and hell are the same, even liberation. He sees them all the same. Nothing special. This verse was spoken by Lord Shiva to his wife, Parvati, when Chitraketu, he was flying in an aerial mansion, and he saw Lord Shiva sitting with his wife, Parvati, on his lap, in an assembly of sages. Of course, Parvati is Jagannatha. She's the mother of the whole universe. And Lord Shiva is the greatest transcendentalist. So the sages, they weren't disturbed seeing them, knowing that by the interaction of Shiva and Shakti, by that the whole material universe is manifested. Therefore they don't find anything incongruous in Shiva and Shakti sitting like that. But Chitraketu, he made some joke with Lord Shiva. Thought you're supposed to be self-controlled. How is it you're sitting with your wife in public? Then Parvati cursed Chitraketu. That, what is this? How can you say something to my husband? Who are you? You think you're so great? Alright, you become a demon. You're not talking like a cultured person. Become a demon, Chitraketu said. Alright, my dear mother. Very good. Actually, he was powerful enough to counteract even the curse of Parvati. But he didn't. He said, alright, want me to become a demon? You're the mother of the universe. You've given me so many bodies. So if you want, I'll take birth in a demon. And Parvati was surprised. I'm sending people to different bodies, all kinds of bad bodies. They're not happy. And he's not in the slightest bit disturbed. She asked her husband, what's going on? Always she'd ask her husband. You'll find there are so many discussions in the Puranas between Lord Shiva and Devi. So many discussions, so many different points are there. So she asked him, that is the system. Wife will ask the husband. Husband will hear from his guru, and he will explain to his wife, who is the guru of the husband is the guru of the wife. So she asked, what's going on? I cursed him, and he smiled, disturbed. So then Lord Shiva explained, he's a devotee of Krishna, Narayana Para. He is attached to Lord Narayana. Therefore, for a devotee, heaven and hell, it's all the same. Because if he's in heaven, he'll chant Hare Krishna. If he's in hell, he'll chant Hare Krishna. That is stated by the Prabodhananda Saraswati, that for a great devotee, he's not even interested in going to the heavenly planets. That, Vidhi Mahindra Vishchakitayate, he says that the great demigods like Mahindra, Indra, Chakra, he considers them, their position to be just like feet, some little insect. Sometimes you see a little insect, just so small, you're not sure whether it's a full stop on the page or not. Or whether it's a full stop, or how's it moving? No, it's a little insect. So, there is Indra, mighty Indra. And Indra, there's another Indra. Indra means the Suresh. Suresh means Krishna, but sometimes it's called Indra, head of the demigods. And there's also Indra, little, tiny little insect, you can't even see. So as far as the devotee is concerned, he's not interested. Either he'll be Indra or Indra Gopa. But he only wants to serve Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Kita Janma Hao Jatatu Adas Kahi Mokka Brahma Janma Nahi Mora Ash, that if I can get the chance to be your devotee, then I'll take birth in the body of a little insect. But if you offer me the chance to be Lord Brahma, but I'm not going to be your devotee, no interest. No interest. This is the detachment of the devotee. He's not interested in the different planets. Sometimes we see, I've seen someone in our movement, he's very devotedly serving the Vaishnavas throughout his whole life, and this way simply. But he openly says that I want to go to Swarga. So he found the best way is to serve the devotee. You may get a dharma sarva kama va moksha kama udhara dhi ti vena bhakti yoga na vijeta purusham param. You can get anything you want from Krishna. You say, well, I want to be God. You can also be. Not exactly. You can get the illusion of being God in 84 lakh species of men. Krishna is Bhavaviksha. You will fulfill all your desires. But fulfilling your desires in different ways, that won't make you happy, because you don't know what to desire. You have to know who is Krishna, who are we, how we can be happy. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking, he's not actually interested in going to different planets. Not that he's asking Shukadev, hey, look, I'm going to die. What's the best spot? Is it Mallorca, or should I go on a holiday to Turkey, or what should I do? What's the best place to come? What's the best place to go? He's not interested. He's a pure devotee. From his very birth, he's only interested in Krishna. That's why the sages at Naimisharanya, the Shonakadi Rishi, they got on the case of Suta Goswami a little bit. And they're talking so many things. Why don't you speak something about Krishna? Come on, we all came to hear something interesting. We don't hear about Krishna. See, you're telling us about Shukadeva and Parikshit. But Parikshit Maharaj was a great devotee from his very childhood. He used to play with dolls of Krishna. Even when he was called for his meals, he didn't like to go. And Shukadeva Goswami, he self-realized, so much so that he didn't want to come out of the womb with the mother, which is a horrible condition. He said, I'd rather stay here. I don't want to get in Maya. As soon as I come out, they're all going to be, all this kind of thing that they do with babies. I don't want to be in Maya. I'll stay in this womb. So then only Krishna assured him, okay, come out. I'll be sure you won't be in Maya. Alright. You're not in Maya? You promised I won't be in Maya? Okay, I'll come out. Then, he was self-realized. But then by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he also became a great devotee. So when Parikshit met with Shukadev, they must have discussed something about Krishna, isn't it? It's like when everyone has come here today to listen to a lecture, we're not going to discuss America's policy in Iraq, or Bill Clinton, how to get out of the Sufis in. There are so many things you can discuss. If you read the newspaper, there are so many things. Shota Vyadini Raja, Yadiram Santi Sahasrasha, Apashatam Atma Takam Vihishabhi Hamedinam. There are so many things to discuss. But, from the very beginning, Shukadev Goswami said, we're not going to discuss all those nonsense things. Rajendra, you're a big king. You've had enough discussion of this. Long enough in your court, the political affairs, social affairs, military affairs, family affairs. Now we're going to discuss about Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadev Goswami, now he's asking, what is the situation of the different planetary systems? How people, by different karmas, they go there. So this is also Krishna Katha. To understand how great is Krishna, how Krishna is maintaining the universe, where everything is going on under his direction. We are the Akshena Bhakti. Suyate Sacharajanam, Etanani, Vyajagat, Vyajagatate. Everything is going on under Krishna's direction. So this is the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness to understand the greatness of God. Everyone knows God is great, at least those who are atheists, they're rascals, big fools. Everyone will say, God is great. Allahu Akbar. God is great. But how great is He? How great? That we can begin to understand from the descriptions of the universe. This is called Shaka Chandra Nyan. That we don't know who is Krishna in the spiritual world. To understand that, that is very secret subject matter. It's not very easy for us to understand. Because we are taking this material world is all in all. We think this is reality. As far as we are concerned, our experience is that this material world is reality. We don't know about that. We don't have experience. We only our consciousness is restricted to this material world. So first we hear about the Supreme Lord. How he is creating, maintaining, and destroying the material world. Then we get some idea of how great he is. And we hear about his different incarnations. And finally we come to the 10th canto and we hear about Krishna, the original form of the Supreme Person of the Godhead. If we hear that without understanding the position of Krishna, then there's a very strong possibility of misunderstanding. Because we only have experience of this material world. We've forgotten Krishna. We've forgotten our position in this material world. So if we hear how Krishna is fighting with different demons, how he's dancing with gopis, we'll think, well, he's just like me. I have my enemies. He has his enemies. He has his friends and girlfriends. I have also. Or maybe he's even worse than me. He has girlfriends. I'm a moral person. What is this? So we're trying to judge Krishna by the yardstick of our own experience or our own morality. And we cannot understand. Therefore, first of all, we have to become convinced of Krishna's greatness. If we just think, how great is Krishna? Under his direction, the whole material cosmos is going on. And that, actually, that's not his greatest glory. The prisoners, they're in the prison house, and they're told, the governor is coming. The governor of the state is coming. You say, well, so the prisoners will say, who's that? What's this governor there? You say, well, do you know that under his direction, this whole prison is being run? Oh, really? You mean the prison chief is under him also? Yeah. Well, he's a really important guy. Actually, prison is only one, it's a big state. Prison is only something small. But the prisoners, they've been in the prison so long, they think the prison is reality. They don't know anything beyond it. So if they're to know about the governor, they're going to think of him in terms of what is he in relation to the prison house? They don't know there's a whole big state with highways and forests, and cities and so many things. But if they heard about it, they can't imagine it. So in the same way, Krishna's glory is not that he is the creator in religious systems which don't have very much knowledge of God. They praise it as being the creator of this material world. They think that's his greatest glory. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. It's one song I learned in my childhood. So he made everything. But, so what? What is this material world? That's not his real glory is that he is situated in the spiritual world. But if we hear about that, without having appreciation of his greatness, then we may tend to doubt. Therefore, we find that even people who are superficially theists, when they hear about the description of Krishna in the spiritual world, their faith is not awakened, because they only have some very vague idea of God, who is someone you pray to, but he's not a person. Which is very strange. You can never work this out. You pray to God, then if you pray to him, you have to pray to a person, and then you can't even accept that he's a person. Then there are others who think that God, he's sitting on a cloud, and he made the world in 7 days, and very primitive. Because they have very primitive ideas of God, because they have no proper information. They have no proper information, but they think that this is the summit of God consciousness. So you think that God made the world in 6 days, not 7 days. And then on the seventh day he took rest. He was very tired. But they don't know that ekam shena stito jagat, just by a tiny fraction of his powers, Krishna is creating, maintaining, and destroying all the worlds. He doesn't become tired. He's always fresh. Even Krishna, he goes to take rest at night. Mother Yashoda puts him to rest. He looks, she's gone? Okay. Out the window. It's out of the forest. Dance with the gopis. And he comes back early in the morning. Just Mother Yashoda looks. Have you slept nicely, Krishna? Oh, yes. He's not sleeping. He's always awake. Even sometimes he's sleeping, that is his ecstasy. His pastimes in the spiritual world. He's sleeping, lying down, feeling very tired, with his head in the lap of the cowherd boy, and Balaram is massaging. So there are different pastimes. So when people hear this, if they don't have an understanding of Krishna's transcendental nature, then they can't accept it. It actually requires someone who is very, very advanced in spiritual consciousness to understand or accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, of course, he's accepted. He's a great devotee from his very birth. But he wants Shukadeva Goswami to describe the situation of the planetary systems and Krishna's overseeing all of that. Just so that others who may hear Bhagavatam in future, they may become purified, fixed in that knowledge of Krishna. And then when they hear the different pastimes, they will relish how great is, how wonderful is Krishna. So first we have to hear about the opulences of them, become fixed in that understanding of his greatness. Then, when we hear about his pastimes, they become even more wonderful. How wonderful is he? And he is the proprietor of multi-universes, but still he's so kind that he becomes the darling child of Nanda and Yashoda. Then when more appreciation of his kindness increases more and more, then the devotee even forgets about the opulence of Krishna and simply accepts it as my son, my lover, or my friend. So there is a gradation in hearing. Parikshit Maharaj is asking to hear from the very beginning, the topics of Krishna. So, I'll take some questions now. But before I do that, you please excuse me just for 5 minutes. Maybe, can I just get something for 5 minutes? Or I just have to go for 5 minutes. Can I just speak for 5 minutes? Can I just speak something? There are various questions here. Those who have written down more than one question, I'll just answer one. And then if there's time, I'll come back and ask as best I can. How does one always keep oneself above the lower modes while living in this material world? Rasa. Well, that's the whole process of devotional service. The whole process of devotional service is to bring us up above the material modes. So automatically by engaging in devotional service, that brings us up
Namjyogya vicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, sabunam samitikyaitam dhamma-guryayatam.
Simply by engaging in devotional service, you come above the modes of material nature.
And then it's whatever, hearing, chanting, all the processes. So the whole practice, sadhana means a practice. Practice so that we go on practicing, 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 chanting, hearing, and Nitya Siddha Krishna praying, Shadha Kabunoi, Shavanadi, Shuddha Chitti Kariyoga. Gradually by hearing and chanting and performing all the activities, the heart becomes purified. The heart becomes purified means it becomes free from the lower modes. So we always engage in devotional service and then we come above the modes of nature. Now in the neophyte stage, it's Kachu Hava Dobu Bhai. We're coming up and we're coming down. Sometimes we're taking a Krishna and sometimes we're not. So it's a practice. It's a constant practice.
This could be answered, this could be subject to a very big discussion, but there are many questions, so I just answer. Shukadeva Goswami did not want to come out of his mother's womb until Krishna promised him that he would not be in Maya. How come then did Shukadeva get into personalism before learning Srimad Bhagavatam?
Well, it wasn't really that he got into personalism, but he was a transcendentalist even while he was within the womb. That means from previous birth, he was transcendentally inclined. So, that's also transcendental. Transcendentalist there are three kinds. Brahmavadi, Paramatmavadi, and Bhagavat. Devotees. Vedanti tattat vidas tattam yajjana mandayam bhamneti paramatmiti paramatmiti shakti. So he was not in Maya in as much as he wasn't touched by the modes of material nature. But that Krishna realization at that stage had a dawn. So he was an impersonalist, but not in the sense in our Krishna conscious movement, I hope, we're all speaking against impersonalism all the time, against Mayavada. So he wasn't an impersonalist in the sense that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi Krishna aparad, aparad, those who are envious of Krishna. Simply, the knowledge of Krishna has been spoken to. We realize that this entanglement in Sutta Mitra Ramani Samaji, this friendship, society, and love, this is all useless. So he wanted to be detached from that. But, at that point, he didn't have knowledge of Krishna. That the sages at Naimisharanya, they asked Sutta Goswami that. They said that, how is it that Shukadeva Goswami was a self-realized soul, he was already self-satisfied in himself, so why did he take the trouble to study such a big book like Srimad Bhagavatam, who's already self-realized? So what's the answer? Atma Ramas Jumani Om Inventa Apiru Kame Kurvanti Haitapin Bhaktins Siddha Bhuta Itam Bhuta Guna Hare. That even someone who's self-realized by the end of self-realization, he also takes pleasure in hearing about Krishna. Who are the five principal demigods? Well, I've not seen in Prabhupada's books that there's any discussion of five principal demigods. Generally it's thought that, sometimes said that Lord Brahma is the principal because he's the creator of the universe. And Lord Shiva is his son. Although generally it's considered that Lord Shiva is principal even to Brahma, even though he appears as his son, because constitutionally he's in a higher position. Now, there is a system of Pantopasana, which the Mayavadis, they follow, they worship Vishnu, Surya, then Shiva, Ganesh, and Durga. They worship the... is it Ganesh? No, not Ganesh. Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, Surya, and Durga. So they worship five gods, and their idea is that by worshipping these five gods, you get all benefits, and they're all the same. But this system is not accepted by Vaishnavas, because Vaishnavas, they think that all the demigods are on the same level, but that these five are principal. But Lord Vishnu is not a demigod. He is Deva Deva. He is worshipped even by the demigods. So there's Maharaj, could you share any of your realizations while chanting?
Well, chanting, not chanting, naturally devotees, they get so many realizations. Even neophyte devotees, because Krishna consciousness is so much above anything of this material life. And by chanting, by contemplating, we get so many realizations. Just like we can see at the present time, our Mahamani Krishna Prabhu is having so many realizations of he's having realizations about the realization of Pingala. So, so many realizations may be there. And whatever little things I'm getting, I'm collecting them and making them into books. So, if you want to, you can buy my books. This way I'm sharing them. Please tell whether in the spiritual world all jivas feel hunger, sleep, and tiredness. Shoot. Drink, what these words are given. Hunger, thirst, dissatisfaction. That is not there in the spiritual world. That is the condition of the material world. It may be there. But even if it's there, it's not a cause of distress. It's simply a cause of happiness, just like you feel hunger. But then you have a nice feast with Krishna. So where is the distress? Or you feel tired, you lie down and you lie down with Krishna after dancing, and then we be with Krishna and discuss something. So, even if it is, it's not a cause of distress as it is in this material world. It's not that you're lying down and then the alarm goes off, you throw it out of the window, and I have to get up and go to work, it's so miserable. It's not like that. As Prabhupada pointed out, you never see a picture of Krishna going to a factory. No. Everything there is simply nectar. Everything there is nectar. Walking is dancing. No one walks because they feel so happy they dance. No one talks because their speech is so beautiful. It's like singing. Everything there is effulgent with its own natural effulgence. You're out of order. Write it down. In the spiritual world, you don't have to write it down. When someone passes away in the family, seances are not seances. That's a different thing. Some rituals are performed, 13 days. During this period, you cannot cook food, light a lamp, etc. How do I perform my devotional service during this period? Well, that you can't cook, but that doesn't mean you can't eat for 13 days. They told you you can't eat for 13 days? You can eat, but not any gorgeous foods at that time. So how do you perform devotional service? Devotional service is hearing and chanting about Krishna. That can go on. But the family duties, such as all the general family duties, they will be suspended for some time. Otherwise, you can go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Could you describe karma yoga and jnana yoga? I think you should bring that quietly, if at all. Because we're having Krishna Katha, so we shouldn't disturb it. Could you describe karma yoga and jnana yoga as explained in the Gita? How important are these two yogas in this age of Kali Yuga? Can we reach to the Lord's planet by following these two paths? How are they different from bhakti yoga? Well, it's a few questions, but they're all interrelated. Karma yoga, that is described in the Gita, there are different stages of karma yoga. There is Nishkam Karma, Sakam Karma Yoga, Nishkam Karma Yoga, Bhakti Unmukhi Karma Yoga. Generally, Karma Yoga, that is followed by those who are attached to performing work, but who want to become spiritually elevated. So they offer the fruits of their results. They let, to
either to Krishna or they give something in charity. So it's a step up simply from performing karma. Dhyana yoga means the process of meditation upon the Supreme. How important are these two yogas in this age of Kali Yuga? Well, in any age, the most important yoga is bhakti yoga, because Yoginamapi Sarvesham Bhagate Nantaratmana Shadhavan Bhajate Yomam Same Yukata Bhagataha. The most important of all yoga, or the topmost of all yogas, is to worship Krishna with full faith. So, karma yoga, dhyana yoga, there are many different kinds of yoga practice. Karma yoga, dhyana yoga, these are common, well-known practices. They are steps on the ladder of which the topmost rung is bhakti yoga. So in any age, the topmost yoga is bhakti yoga. In the satya yoga, one is recommended to perform dhyana. That dhyana is upon Vishnu. In Kali Yoga, one is advised to chant the names of Krishna, to perform bhakti yoga by chanting the names of Krishna. We cannot achieve perfection in karma yoga. We can't even perform it properly. All the rules and regulations you have to follow. Just like in karma kanda, the rules of purity are very important. Now here we see in all the buildings, there is an attached bathroom. That means everything is impure, according to the laws of karma kanda. So you can't perform all these things. It's not possible in the modern age. Therefore, similarly, dhyana, you can't meditate. How are you going to meditate if you have to work in an office or a factory? For that you have to go off to some jungle. Now there's no jungle either, it's all cut down. Even if you go there, there's someone may come making a movie, or there's no peace even in the forest. See, some lovers will come. So, in this age, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. Alona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gathira, Nitya. You have to chant Hare Krishna. Can you reach the Lord abode by all these methods? You can. Maybe someone can. But not you. You have to chant Hare Krishna. In the Brahma Loka, is Krishna consciousness there? Do they chant the Hare Krishna mantra? Does Krishna send pure devotees for preaching and initiating? Brahma Loka, this refers to two different Brahma Loka, that means the planet of Lord Brahma in this material world, which is also known as Satya Loka. Brahma Loka also means the spiritual world. So, is there Krishna consciousness in Brahma Loka? Yes. Either the spiritual world or the planet of Lord Brahma, there is Krishna consciousness. Do they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Well, certainly in the spiritual world, the gopis are chanting. Sometimes they're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is Krishna's, and that's definitely there in the spiritual world. And in Brahma Loka, mostly they're attached to this meditation process. So, demigods and the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems, many of them like to come here to chant Hare Krishna. So in many ways we're more fortunate than even the great demigods. Does Krishna send pure devotees for preaching and initiating? Yes. You have mentioned in your lecture today that poverty is Jagannatha. How is it that when Lakshmi is the life of Krishna, Lakshmi is not Jagannatha? Well, she is also. They're also Jagajanani. That name is sometimes given for Sita Devi, for Lakshmi, or Parvati. Actually, Parvati is an expansion of Lakshmi. So, they're all mothers. Just like, generally we call any lady Mataji. So, they're all mother. They all have the function of being motherly. So, in the same way, Lakshmi, Sita, who is Lakshmi, Parvati, who is an expansion of Lakshmi, they're all Jagannatha. How do I convert the strong feeling or love I have for my relatives, wife, brother, sister, towards my devotional love? Well, you see your wife, relatives, everyone else as servants of Krishna and relate with them in that way. Of course,
As long as we're in this material world, we have certain functions to perform according to the body we have received. So we have social functions, family functions, we have different duties. But we can Krishnaize them by making our family Krishna conscious. And understand, there are two ways of seeing. One way is that we see wife, brother, children, all as devotees of Krishna. But another way, we have to see that the bodily attachment we have, that should not be cultivated. Bodily attachment, we should understand that family members, it's just like the example is given, that in a big river, there are many sticks floating. So sometimes if some sticks come together and they make a group, they come together and they float in the river for some time, then again, by the force of the current, they split up and sticks from one group go to form in another group. So like that, in the current of time, we join with certain people and then we go to another group. So we don't have any fixed relationship with them. So we should understand that we do have an eternal relationship with wife, brothers, all this. But that eternal relationship is not on the bodily platform, but on the spiritual platform. And even in one place in the Bhagavatam, it's stated that how you can go back to Godhead with all your relatives. So that's our aim. If you really want to love your family members, then preach to them Krishna consciousness and send them back home to Godhead. This is a common question. We had it last night. The mind gets distracted while chanting. So as I asked last night, does anyone else feel this problem? Well, it's good that therefore we have hearing and chanting. So you hear the Bhagavatam and you become absorbed in that. So even if it becomes distracted, at least you can think, instead of thinking about what was on TV last night, if you don't watch TV, then you won't think of that. So you can think, what was in the Bhagavatam lecture last night? What was I hearing? Then you should listen while they're chanting. Oh, okay. All right, let's chant. It often thinks of many evil things. Yes, isn't that a strange thing? Actually, chanting, that chito darpana marjana, it cleanses the heart. When you're cleaning, what happens when you do a big cleanup? See, now, I don't know about this room, but in some room, generally daily, or at least I hope once a week, we do some kind of brushing here and there, little wiping, and so it looks clean. That's a cursory cleaning. But then, if you look behind the cupboard or something, after 1 year, it's a lot of dirt. So it looks clean, but if you look under the carpet, behind the cupboard, there's so many dirty things hidden away. So then if you start to clean that up, so then the maha cleanup, we call that in our temples. We call it a maha cleanup. If you start to clean up like that, then everything becomes extremely dirty. All the dust and all the nasty things come out. Suddenly come in and say, oh, your home's really dirty. And we'll be cleaning it. That's why it's dirty. So in the same way, when you chant, so many bad things may come out. Go on chanting. Gradually they'll get cleaned away. When the dirty things come out, don't think, oh, this dirt is very nice. That's called tamagun. People in the mode of ignorance, they like to have a dirty home. They like that. I saw my great aunt or something in some remote place in Ireland. So I only saw her once. That was enough for me. Her whole skin was black. She never took a bath. And she had a nice new home. Now they told me that she lived in some broken down old dirty home. So they built her after many years. Her sons, she didn't want. She was, no, I want to stay here. It was completely filthy and broken down. So they built her a new home. And within 1 year it looked like the old home. And because she's absolutely in the mode of ignorance. See, this is my distinguished family lineage I'm telling you about. So some people, they like to live in dirt and filth and
They cook something and then they leave it in the pot and they eat half of it and leave it till there's some fungus in it. And they don't cook the pot until they have to use it again, or even they use it without cleaning it. So that's the mode of ignorance. So to go by chanting, we should become purified. If we don't become purified, then we're not really chanting. So you see the dirt, kick it out. You see the nasty thing which is in the deep consciousness. Then call out to Krishna, Krishna, relieve me from these horrible things. How can the mind be controlled 100%? By taking shelter of Krishna 100%. The process of sadhana, again and again I'm saying this, because our aim is to be 100% Krishna conscious, but we're not. So we should have faith. Don't become discouraged. By the process of sadhana, gradually we will become purified. Prabhupada writes in one purport in the songbook, don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. Go on doing it. You may say, well, I've been chanting for 20 years and still, you know, I'm still in Maya. What should I do? Go on chanting for another 20 years. Another 20 years, I'm still in Maya. Well, what are you going to do? Even tries to chant his holy names. He helps us. Despite having association with ISKCON for the past 2 years, I'm still having trouble in getting up for Mangalarti. Also, there's a lot of disturbance with wife and children. Your wife in particular do not want to leave time and friends. Please help me. These questions are very common. Very common. Even more so, at least in the Indian community, we often see that due to some past pious background, often husband and wife both become Krishna conscious. Sometimes not. But in the Western countries, a lot of problem. I mean, half the questions I get in Russia especially are that I want to be a devotee but my wife doesn't. I want to be a devotee but my husband doesn't. I want to be a devotee that my children do. I want to be a devotee that my parents do. Lot of problem. So, please help me. I don't have any magic wand. Because even Krishna doesn't force anyone to be Krishna conscious. You are making an individual choice. You cannot force anyone to be Krishna conscious. In a situation like that, what can you do? If someone is very stubborn not to be Krishna conscious, there's no use to force, but you may just have to live with that and tolerate and slowly, gradually try to bring them round. What else to do? Prasad, of course. How to bring them round? Give prasad. It may be very difficult, but you have to remember, whatever difficulties you get from your family members, it's not very likely that they're going to be as difficult as Hiranyakashipu was to Prahlad. So, you remember, Prahlad was always peaceful, despite the harassment of his father. So it may be very difficult. He was not in a good situation. What to do? It's not anukul, favorable in one way. But Krishna has his plan for everybody. Krishna may be preparing you in one way, just like Prabhupada and his family members, they weren't interested in his Krishna conscious. To some extent, but not, they weren't interested in being very serious. So Krishna had a plan for Prabhupada that eventually, after he'd seen through all his family duties, his children were grown up, then he came out of that and he preached Krishna conscious all over the world. And by the power of his devotional service, his family members certainly all went or are going back to God. So Krishna has a plan for everybody. What did Parikshit Maharaj do? What cure did he get? Did he go to Goloka Vrindavan? I enjoyed the Sankirtan. Thank you for blessings. Thank you for the blessings. My name is Sneha. Who's Sneha? So you should have Sneha for Krishna. Then everyone will have Sneha for you. What did Parikshit Maharaj do? He was cursed
by a Brahmin boy. You can know that story? Parikshit Maharaj was the king of the whole world. So once he went traveling, he was going hunting in the forest, he became separated from his companions. And he came to the ashram of one rishi, whose name was Shamika Rishi. So the rishi was in rushi. You know, rushi means long hair, yogi, or the yogi. So he was meditating, very deeply in meditation. So Parikshit Maharaj wanted some water. He asked, could you give me some water? But the rishi was deep in meditation. He couldn't hear him. So Parikshit Maharaj became upset, and he saw there was one dead snake there. Snakes were dead, not alive. So out of frustration, that he wanted some water, he put the snake on the shoulder of the rishi, as if to garland him. So then the rishi's son came. His name was Shingi. And he became very upset that my father, he's been insulted. So he cursed Maharaj Parikshit, you shall die within 7 days. After 7 days, a takshak, means a snake, flying snake, will come and bite you and kill you. So Parikshit Maharaj heard this. He said, well, what should I do? So he went to the bank of the Ganga, Jamuna, and sat down with the idea, now I'm going to die in 7 days, I won't eat, I won't sleep, but I want to know what I should do now. So so many different rishis came and gave him advice, but eventually Shukadeva Goswami came and said, you should hear about Krishna. So that's what he did. He heard about Krishna. What cure did he get? Tell me your word. Well, the cure, well, he didn't have any cure for the snake bite. But the cure for repeated death was Bhavosha Gach Vibhuttatai Shari Bhagiya Manach Bhavosha Shokcha Mano Virayamat. He's going to mix up this. The Uttama Shloka Vinana Vayanat Kumandra Rajita Vinapa Shukna. The medicine for birth and death is to hear about Krishna. So that's what he did. Thank you for the blessings. Hare Krishna. Among Nakul and Sahadev, who is the astrologer? Do you have any Mahabharata books here? One of them was a good astrologer. I'm sorry, I read Mahabharata once, but I don't remember. Sorry, I can look it up if you like. What is the best process for a person to remain in Krishna consciousness if he doesn't have association with devotees? It's very difficult to be in Krishna consciousness if you don't, because Krishna bhakti mool hoy shadu sangha. The very root of devotion is to associate with devotees. Who wrote this? Who wrote this question? Having association. So, if you don't have association directly, or if there's some difficulty in that, then you have to learn how to associate. Association doesn't mean simply by being in the physical presence. So you can also associate by remembering the instructions. Personally, I feel I had my strongest or most intense association with Srila Prabhupada after he passed away from this world, when I was traveling in different places with no association, because then all I had to do was think of his instructions. So you can take association by praying for the blessings, studying the books, doing the cassettes, even without the physical presence. Which is better? Being consistent in whatever devotional service you are doing and striving to do more and more, increasing service gradually. Or in the name of austerity, do a lot of devotional service at one go, and then for so many days later not be able to do anything. Well, in Gita, Krishna recommends Shanaya Shanaya Paramed Vritta Vidhi Guhitaya, how we should gradually make progress with determination and intelligence. Not that you do, okay, big, now today I'm going to chant 200 rounds, and then stay up 24 hours, chant, and then go to sleep for 6 days and not chant anything. So Krishna never recommends such a madman kind of program. Do it steadily, gradually. Oh, I already read this. Yeah. I already read this too. This is from, it's not a question, but from Suhasini. What does that name mean? Suhasini. Always smiling nicely. Is it? So she said, she's given a definition of BBS, which is my name. B in bhakti, which is devotion. B in valuable lecture, which you get. So, S in Sankirtan, which we enjoy. So, why don't we do that? Do we enjoy so well Sankirtan?